The hardest part was figuring out where to go. I didn't want to explain military life before talking about what I needed. Safeguard Veterans connected me to people and resources that understood military life. That made taking the next step easier.
You served others. Let your community support you. Visit safeguardveterans.net and click on your city. Safeguard Veterans. Any door, the right support.
Dark.
Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies, if your man ain't putting in work no more, more.
Thanks for coming by. You always do. I appreciate it. Desert Rose, thanks for hanging out tonight. Guest 105, Lil Nomi, Herbert Brown Photography. Thanks for joining us. I just had a little crisis when I was starting my show. I'm drinking champagne just because I was in there about to get a drink. And we had like a half a bottle of champagne left in the freezer from New Year's. It was still plugged up, so it was still fresh and everything. So I put it down next to me on my desk, running my computer, and then I knocked some of it over, and it dropped onto my mouse. And so my mouse is no longer working. It's dead now. So, hey, Claire. So I'm trying to at least, I can't do anything on my switchboard. I can't do anything on my computer at all. It's not working at all. I have this other mouse plugged in. It's not working. So I can't, there's always something, isn't there? So I'm going to try to play something real quick so I can kind of figure this out real quick, and then I'll be right back. If I can play anything, let me see if I can play something. I can't be too picky because, damn it, I can't do anything. Oh, this sucks, man. Figures. So, don't know what I'm going to do. I guess I'm just going to have to wing it. But anyway, so that was Candy Burris singing Leave You. It's a song off her new album, and I like her. I love all kinds of music, you know, any kind, whether it's R&B like that, or it's pop, or I like alternative music, as it was called when I was in high school, or like, you know, new wave, whatever it was called then. I don't know what it's called now. I guess alternative. I like country. I like everything. So you'll hear a lot of different kind of music on my show, not just one thing. But while I try to figure out this whole mouse thing that's happening with me, I'm going to try to figure out how to fix this. But while I'm doing that, we had some snow in Dallas today. And those of you not from Dallas may think that's kind of strange, but we actually do get snow usually every year in Dallas, usually in January. But last year, it snowed on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Like, we had like 8 inches of snow last year. That was really weird, but it was really pretty. It was a nice Christmas. But today it snowed a little bit. We had like a little bit of snow, not a ton, wasn't anything to write home about. But anyway, I wish I could figure out what's going on with my computer. I can't. Well, it's not the computer, it's the mouse. I'm afraid I'm going to have to reboot the whole thing just in order to make it work, which is going to suck. But I guess this would be the best time since I'm starting the show. Wait. No, it's not responding to any clicks. Let me turn off the mouse, turn it back on, see if that helps at all. Now, it's plugged into the modem, or is it cordless? It's a cordless, rechargeable mouse, Lady Cougar. You like put it into a cradle, and it charges it back up every day, and it works fine. I mean, I spilled champagne on it a minute ago, so that fucking sucks. Anyway, I'll try to talk about something, try not to be distracted by this while I talk to you. But my husband and I are starting P90X tomorrow. You guys know what that is? It's that real intensive workout regime. And we want to get into like really, 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 you know, like even better shape or whatever. So we want to make the commitment to do that for 90 days. And we're going to do that for 90 days, and then we're going to see what happens and see if we get the 8-packs we want. but it's supposed to be like really intensive. You actually have to, it says you have to check with your doctor first and all this kind of stuff. And you have to do this test to make sure you pass all of the benchmarks before you can actually even start to do the PD90X, but we're doing it tomorrow. So we're doing the test tomorrow, and then we're going to start the actual PD90X. So it's going to be really intense. So it should be not much fun. But so 90 days from now, we'll see if it really works. We're going to test it out, see if it really works or not, and we'll report back to you on what happened with it. But hopefully it won't be as hard as they say it is. But today, what did we do today? Well, my husband's not feeling well. He's got a sinus problem or whatever. Little Nomi says, PD90X is the shit. I've been doing it. Hey, tell me about it, Little Nomi. What has it been like? Has it been really hard? How long have you been doing it, and has it been working for you? Has it been getting you more toned or whatever? I mean, some people use it to lose weight, like lose fat. Some people use it to get toned. Some people use it to get like a really high-end shape. So we're going to use it to just do everything, you know, just get fitter. And I'm trying to get it. So we can probably go on a cruise or something this year. And so I want to look with my best for the cruise. I don't want to look all imperfect. I'm a perfectionist, and I'm kind of hard on myself about the way I look and stuff. So I always try to make sure I look my best and stuff. And so this is just part of that, I guess. I don't judge people who don't, though, because I grew up, you know, my mom isn't perfect, and I'm not perfect, and, you know, I don't care if somebody's body's perfect. I just, for me, I always use this as an analogy. Like, you know, I like nice things. I like nice cars. I like nice stuff. And but I don't put it above what's important, which is people, friends, and family. And, like, you can drive a Pinto, and I'll drive around with it and with you, and that's fine. It doesn't bother me at all. But I don't want a Pinto because it doesn't reflect who I feel I am or whatever. So the same with my body. I want my body to reflect who I feel I am. So we're going to do the P90X and see how that goes. It should be an interesting task. But I can't seem to get any freaking thing to work. I'm so sorry. I can't. Of course, this has happened right before the show started. And the whole computer is completely, like, not responding. So I'm going to do is I'm going to reboot, and I will be right back. I don't know if it's going to let me come back in or not, but I'm going to try. I'll be right back. So can you guys hear me now or not? Can you hear me? Oh, my God. You people are still there, it looks like. Can you guys hear me? Say yes if you can hear me in the chat room. Can you hear me? Hello? It's me. Can you hear me? Can you hear me or not? Can you hear me speaking? Yay! Oh my God. I can't believe you all waited. Anyway. So apparently it had nothing to do with the switchboard this time. This was not BTR's fault. This had something to do with the mouse. I spilled champagne on it. And then I couldn't click on anything. I could, like, use my mouse. I could move it around the screen and all that, but it wouldn't let me click on anything, so that was useless. So I had to reset the whole computer and then twice, and then reset the PRAM or something, some Mac thing I had to do. I don't know. It seems like it worked, though. Hopefully it doesn't happen again. That was fucking annoying. I'm sorry it took me so long. You had nowhere else to go. Well, thanks. You're too lazy to book anything. Well, thanks. That makes me feel great. Thanks for waiting anyway for whatever reason. So anyway, I'm going to get my bearings real quick because I need to figure out one thing, and then I'll be right back, okay? I'll play a song. Tell me if you can hear the song in the chat room, okay? Be right back. You to justify my love. Okay, I'm back. Thanks for waiting, guys. I appreciate it. For whatever reason you decided to wait, I appreciate you waiting with my technical difficulties here tonight. So in the chat room, it looks like we're talking about vagina versus asshole. Which one is tighter? Does anybody know? Who can tell us? Anyway, if you want to call in, the number is 323-843-6160. I invite your calls. I would think that the rear would be tighter than the vagina because it's an anus. It's got to be really, really tight. I can imagine it being less tight than the vagina. But I wouldn't know, as you would say, because I haven't gone that way and won't ever. But I can tell you that it's probably – that's just what I would think. And also I've heard straight guys say that as well, straight guys who are actually have fucked a girl and fucked from both the vagina and the asshole. So I would think that they've told me that it was tighter. So I don't know. That's what they told me anyway. So Lady Cougar says her back end is off limits. Well, that's fine. Not everybody's into those sorts of things. So it's understandable. Whatever floats your boat is what I say, you know. I guess you're just afraid to try it, Lady Cougar, or have you ever tried it at all? Have you ever tried anal sex or not? Because if you haven't tried it, I don't know. But I always say, we were talking about this on Vince's show earlier, because the thing is, it has to feel different for a woman than it does for a man. And, well, I know it does, because a man has a prostate. And if you fuck a guy in the ass, you're going to manipulate the prostate. And the prostate's what sensation and feeling and orgasms to men. And I know this because I'm a gay guy. And having been penetrated that way, I know that if it's hit the right way by the penis, or even at all, but really if it's hit the right way as well, it is, you have an orgasm like 10 times as intense as you normally would when you're a guy and you're getting plowed. Now, if you're a girl and you're getting plowed, I wouldn't think that it would be as pleasurable because you don't have a prostate. So I can understand how it wouldn't be as pleasurable for a woman to do that. However, having said that, there are lots of nerve endings there, and so therefore pretty much any kind of stimulation would feel relatively good anyway. So I don't know. The verdict is out. If you have an opinion on anal sex, which is apparently the topic of tonight's show, according to the chat room, they choose the topic. I don't. I just let them choose what they want to talk about and let them do what they want to say what they want to say, and it ends up being the topic. So apparently tonight's show is about anal sex. Should you or shouldn't you? Have you or haven't you? Would you or wouldn't you? Those are the questions. And frankly, I mean, it's a very pleasurable thing. So Gunslinger says he screwed his girlfriend in the ass more than once, and he loved it and she loved it. If it's done right, it is very pleasurable. And Lady Cougar says that the reason she's not into anal sex is because when she was raped there, and that's why. Well, hello, Lady Cougar, that's understandable. I think we understand that, okay? That's understandable that you would have an aversion to anal sex for that reason. But thank you for telling us that. Because, I agree with you, Claire. Thank you for sharing that, Lady Cougar. And as you did on the show before, but you didn't tell us that that particularly happened, but I imagine that could have been what had happened as well. So I'm sorry. But on the good side of anal sex is very pleasurable. And that's what's funny to me is a lot of heterosexual people who don't have anal sex, let me say this again. A lot of heterosexual people who are against gay people because they say sodomy is wrong or something like that, have not had anal sex probably themselves because they've never experienced it pleasurably. And even if they have, it's just funny because they're always saying gay people or sodomites are going to hell because of anal sex, when just as many straight people have anal sex as gay people. And not every gay man has anal sex. There are gay men who are only interested in oral sex or whatever, and not anal sex at all. And there are gay men who enjoy anal sex, and like myself, and those who don't. So it just depends on who you are. And of course, there's tops and there's bottoms, and there are gay men who enjoy being just on top. There are gay men who enjoy just being on the bottom. There are gay men who enjoy being versatile, and I'm versatile. So it depends on the guy I'm with and what we're into. And for me, that's been the best because it gives me the best of both worlds, and it's enjoyable. I like it all. So I'm a Gemini. What could I say? So for me, that's what it's about. It's easy for me to be interested in both sides of the coin, but someone who is heterosexual may not actually be interested in it. If you're a woman specifically, I can understand why you might not be. But that's what we were talking about on Vince's show earlier too, about the fact that a lot of men, mostly heterosexual men, who have a problem with anal sex or the idea of it, they would never let their girlfriend do that to them, whether it was just with their finger or a dildo or a strap-on or anything. And because a lot of straight men feel like getting fucked makes them gay or something, or getting fucked makes them less of a man or something. And let me just tell you that having something in your ass doesn't make you any less of a man than anything else does. It doesn't make you gay to like something in your ass. So just want you to know that. What makes you gay is wanting an emotional as well as sexual connection with another man or another woman, depending on the case. So it has nothing to do with what you put in your ass. So if you're a straight guy out there listening to this show and you do like things in your ass sexually, you can experiment with it yourself or with your girlfriend and bring it up to her if you feel comfortable doing that, which you should with someone you're with anyway. You should feel comfortable talking to them about whatever is on your mind. You shouldn't be ashamed of how you feel or what you want. And tell her, you know, to experiment with it. Try it out. And just be slow. Use lots of lube. Because the first time you try it, you've got to use lots of lube. Tell her to go slow. Or if you're doing it yourself, go slow. Use a small dildo, nothing big to begin with. And see how it feels. And the deeper you go, the better it is, because you're going to hit the prostate. So there you go. There's our little conversation about anal sex tonight. So I hope you've all learned a little something. Or maybe you've taught me something. I don't know. Okay, so, but as I was talking about before my whole technical difficulties earlier, we're going to start P90X this week, tomorrow specifically. So that'll be interesting to see how that goes. I actually had a personal trainer. He came to my house three times a week a long time ago, or a year, 2 years ago, whatever. And he actually whipped, I mean, he totally kicked my ass, you know, what we would do in our training sessions. But so I think it'll probably be like that. It probably won't be anything I haven't done already, you know, about the same kind of intensity level and all that. But we shall see how it turns out. And earlier, I was listening to Claire's show, Trust Claire. Trust Claire has a show on Blog Talk Radio. She is a cool chick. She's a psychic medium, but she's also just got a lot of really great views and political views and on racism and sexuality and things like that. So you should check out Trust Claire's show. I think, Claire, didn't you say you and I were going to do a kind of a co-hosting thing, or I was going to be a guest speaker or something like that on your show tomorrow at 6:30? Is that correct? 6:30 Central Time. So if that's the case, be sure to listen to Trust Claire's show tomorrow at 6:30 on Blog Talk Radio. And yeah, you're a cool chick. Okay. I'm sorry. I don't always pay attention to how I express myself. I just say what's on my mind. I'm the person that comes to my head. So anyway, listen to Trust Claire's show tomorrow at 6:30 Central Time on Blog Talk Radio. She's going to be discussing sexuality and racism, I think mostly racism, or homophobia, and just kind of bigotry in general, discrimination in general. And I will be on her show speaking about my experiences as well. So be sure to check that out. It should be interesting. And I actually... oh, yeah, Lady Cougar, the thing in Arizona, that was horrible. I think it's a horrible, horrible thing. And I was on Vince's show the night before last or last night, you know, listening or talking to them about it, or listening to them one way or the other. And they were saying that they felt that Well, actually, it wasn't Vince. It was people in the chat room who were conservatives saying that it's the liberals' fault or something. Somehow they had to make it out to be a liberal-conservative issue, when really it's just a human issue. The fact is someone got assassinated or was attempted to be assassinated. A judge was murdered, and a 9-year-old child was murdered. And it's horrific. And the thing that happened, though, is, you know, Jane Fonda came out against it on her Twitter page, saying that she felt that it was as a result of people like Sarah Palin targeting particular senators and congresspeople and people of those sort in the Congress and politics, and crying out for whichever amendment it is, the gun amendment remedy, meaning that she was in some ways calling for action for people. She had an actual, if you remember, she had a commercial where she had targets on particular congresspeople throughout the country who were Democratic or liberal leaning. And one of those people was this senator from, or this congressperson, woman from Arizona, who was who almost got assassinated. So people were blaming Sarah Palin, saying that she was to blame for it. Now, the truth is, Sarah Palin was not to blame for it. Of course not. The man who shot her was to blame for it, and he acted alone, and it was his own decision to do that. It was not Sarah Palin's fault. However, what Jane Fonda was saying, I feel, was that speech can lead to action, and speech has power. I've said this on my show before. I've said it on other shows. People disagree with me, but no matter whether you agree with it or not, speech has power. Words have power. And if you yield your words loosely without thinking first, without saying anything or saying filtered thoughts or whatever, into saying whatever you think you want to say to make further your own career like she's doing or whatever, there are consequences to those words. Someone, and I'm not saying that this guy did this because of Sarah Palin, but the fact is that if you infuse society with that kind of rhetoric about, you know, it's okay to have Second Amendment or whatever amendment it is, the gun amendment, I can't remember which one it is, sorry, remedies for taking care of people that you don't agree with politically, well, that's the kind of thing that could happen. It's incendiary. Oh my God, I can't think. I've had too much champagne, I think. It's insidiary. You know what I'm trying to say. It incites people to act in a negative way when you say things in like that. So that's what I think, Lady Cougar. I think it's a sad, sad thing, and it pisses me off. And I think that it scares me in a way. It doesn't surprise me, though. It scares me because there are people out there who are ignorant enough to actually think it's okay to kill people that you disagree with just because you disagree with them, or you don't like their politics or their sexuality or their race or their religion or whatever. People actually feel, oh, it's okay to kill those people because they don't meet their particular idea of whom they should be. And, you know, in my belief system, you know, everybody gets their comeuppance. And I believe in karma. I believe in it 100%. And I've seen it in action, so to speak, in my own life and through other people's lives who've harmed me and vice versa. Although I haven't harmed a lot of people in my life, but I mean, I may have been not so nice to people, but that's been really, really rare because I'm actually generally a very nice person. I'm only not nice to people who aren't nice to me. That's just how I am. I'm generally, like, if I meet someone for the first time, I go up to them, I go up to them with an open heart. And whether I meet them online or I meet them in person or wherever I meet them, I go up to them with an open heart. And I think to myself, you know, okay, this person seems okay. So I start talking to them, whatever. And if they don't like me because of who I am, what I am, and they start yelling racial or homophobic epithets at me, then of course I'm going to retaliate. So that's what I mean. I mean, I'm not someone who's going to just be mean to people to be mean. But there are people out there who are like that. There are so many of them. And it gets really tiring. And it's just sad. It's so sad. There's so much fucking hatred. And I've talked about this show in my mind so many times, but it's sad. But anyway. So, and I actually had what was I gonna say? I don't remember. Sorry. Anyway, I don't know. Anyway, if you want to call in, the number is 323-843-6160. I did talk to a few people on Blog Talk Radio over the past couple of days who, you know, I still go into rooms all the time. People are trying to say things to me. Oh, I think it was yesterday. Yeah, I was in Vince's room, and Bob USMC and what's the other guy's name? CFGA were in the room, and Rambo were in the room. They were saying horrible things about me, but the thing is, whenever I see them come in the room, I immediately mute them, so I can't see anything they're saying in the chat room. So I never know what they're saying, but somebody said, oh my God, that's so mean, lay off Icon or something like that. So I knew they were talking about me. But the funny thing to me is people who are like that, who hate gay people, they're always talking about gay people. They're always talking about gay things. They're always talking about how horrible gay people are, blah, blah, blah. Gay, 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 gay. Gay, 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 gay. Gay, 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 gay. All they talk about is gay, gay, gay. So to not like gay people so much, they sure are fucking talking about us a lot, you know? I mean, gay, gay, gay. So it really makes me feel, it's kind of ironic to me that people actually don't, it's ironic to me that people who actually hate gay people are always talking about us. So that's what I'm saying, you know. Oh, and then I was listening to a show that Claire had. Oh, it was by Tracy Gamore. Now, I don't know if you people know my history with Tracy Gamore on Blog Talk Radio, but she actually has been probably one of the meanest people to me on Blog Talk Radio. And she, from the beginning, has called me faggot and pole smoker and all these other really horrible names. And so I don't associate with her either. But anyway, Claire said she had a show, so I went to listen to her show, her first show, and to hear what she was saying about this princess boy thing. And I don't know if you guys have heard about it, but this princess boy is this little child. He's like 5 years old, and his mother and father, he asked his mother and father just to start wearing princess outfits or whatever on Halloween or something, I don't know, or just into school or something, I don't remember. And the parents were saying, after they thought about it for a while and they consulted with doctors and, you know, psychiatrists and things like that, that the doctors were saying, this is who he is, let him be who he is. If it's a phase, he will no longer want to wear these dresses anymore. If it's not a phase, then you'll be allowing him to be who he is and allow him to understand that who he is okay with you and the world. And so that's essentially what the topic was about or whatever. And Tracy Gamore on her show was saying how basically this mother and father are promoting the homosexual agenda by allowing this kid to wear dresses. Now, first of all, just to educate you people a little bit, those of you who don't know, wearing dresses as a man has absolutely nothing to do with being gay. That's the first thing. Being gay does not mean, if you're a gay man, does not mean that you're going to be wearing a dress. And if you wear a dress, it doesn't, and you're a man or a boy, it does not mean you're gay either. That's the first thing. Gender expression, gender identity are completely different from sexual orientation. So people need to stop conflating those two issues. They're not the same thing. And I'm going to do a show on gender identity and transsexuals and things like that, people who have had sex changes and people on operations and people who want to, et cetera, sometime in the near future when I have the time to put it together. But so people should realize that just because a kid, a little boy, may wear dresses does not mean he's going to be gay. It's not going to make him gay if he wears dresses. It's simply going to say that that the parents accept him as he is. Now, if I had a little boy, would I want him to be wearing dresses? No. I wouldn't want to be wearing dresses because he would be taunted and harmed, probably, as this little boy has been taunted and made fun of, etc. And that's what I would want to prevent from my child, you know. Would I let him wear them? I don't know. The honest truth is I don't know, because I don't think there's anything wrong with it per se. But as a parent, I don't know if I would be okay with him wearing it, not for the reason because it means he's gay or it isn't masculine, but because I don't know. I guess I would be okay with it ultimately, because the thing is, ultimately, like the doctor said, if he's going to be gay, he's going to be gay regardless of whether he wears a dress or not. If he's going to be straight, he's going to be straight regardless of whether he wears a dress or not. So it's not going to make him gay or straight to wear the dress or not to wear the dress at all. So I guess after thinking about it, just now in my head and verbally saying it out loud, I think that he actually, I would allow him to do it. Yeah, I would allow him to do it. Lady Cougar says, they are so wrong thinking that wearing a dress means a male is gay. If that were so, almost every female would be gay, myself included, because I wear pants all the time. That's right. That's right. Well, the problem with our society is people are, you know, especially in America, are so worried about how sexual roles appear, sexuality, you know, they're so worried about it. And there's this whole machismo thing in the United States, you know, that men have to go through. And that's something that I should talk about sometime, too, is how I should do a show on that, because people never talk about it, really, about what men have to go through, straight men or gay men. But men, just men, period, have to go through in this country to be considered a quote-unquote man. The things that most men have to do, you know, growing up, you have to, or you're expected, I should say expected, not have to. You're expected not to cry. You're expected not to show any emotion. You're expected to just accept everything that comes at you and be strong like you're made of steel. As a man, you're expected to never show any kind of weakness or any kind of femininity or any kind of emotional, you know, emotionality, any kind of thing that would be considered a feminine trait as a man, whether you're gay, straight, or whatever. You're not supposed to show that in this society. And so men have a really hard time growing up in America, because if you go to Europe, that's not the case. In Europe, if you're a man, growing up, boys hug each other. They hold hands walking down the street, if, you know, little boys or whatever. Even adult males sometimes do that, or teenage males do that sometimes. And it doesn't mean they're gay. They're just showing affection like two girls would be doing the same thing. In our country, you see two girls doing that, it's no big deal. But in our country, if you saw two men doing it, you would consider them to be gay and expect them to be gay. Whereas in Europe and other countries, it is not that way at all, because they're more open and they're more open with their sexuality, and they're not worried about whether people are thinking about them or how they're appearing or whatever. So, you know, it's stupid in America. As a man, you can't do those things. No, I'm not saying every man wants to go around holding his best friend's hand or anything either. I'm just saying that a man should be allowed to do that without it meaning that his sexuality is in question. A man should be able to be whomever and whatever he is, whether he's sensitive and emotional, you know, has those kind of more what's considered a feminine trait, or if he's more masculine or whatever he is, he should be able to express that without fear of being called names or being bashed or being made fun of. And unfortunately, we still raise our men in this country as, you know, that in that manner. We still raise them with that mindset, because that mindset, just like everything else, you know, just like bigotry and prejudice, as I've said before in my show, has been passed down generation to generation in America. Whereas, as I said, you go to other countries and it's not like that. So it's an American thing mostly. I mean, there are countries that are like America, like Middle Eastern countries, who are very male-centered and very afraid of expressing any kind of femininity if you're a man as well. But is that really the kind of country you want to be like, in Islam or whatever, where they express, where they prevent their women from having equal rights, where the men aren't allowed to express themselves? No, I don't think so. At least I don't want to live in that kind of country. So if you're a man, you really do have a hard time. And I think it's sad. And I think that's a lot of the reason that we have bigotry against gay guys, especially coming from heterosexual men. You know, for one or two reasons. Either A, they are conditioned to believe that being gay is completely wrong. And so as a result of that, and as combined with the fact that showing any kind of femininity, any kind of a sensitivity or anything as a man, as they know, is taboo, not being macho, whatever. So when they see gay men being more feminine or more have more sensitive qualities of their nature, they look at it as disgusting or wrong, because that's how they were taught, not only because they think homosexuality is wrong, but also because they think being the machismo factor is necessary to be considered, quote-unquote, a real man. So when you're a man, you know, as I was saying earlier, show expression of any kind in a kind of sensitive way is wrong in America. And what's really wrong with that is that you're conditioning men to think that being whomever they are is wrong. So now every man is not like that, obviously, whether they're sensitive or whatever. But for those who are, and they're straight, heterosexual, you're telling them that there's something wrong with them for being, you know, an emotional man. Like, how many men do you know, heterosexual men, would be comfortable going to a quote-unquote chick flick, you know, a really like a romantic comedy or something, and crying because they feel moved by the fact that these two people ended up together, or this the saga they had to go through to end up together, or whatever. You know, how many men do you think would feel comfortable doing that? I don't know, the straight men anyway, I certainly don't think there are many that would. So I think, you know, I think that's sad. And something as small as showing emotion. And in my opinion, and this is maybe because I am gay or because I was raised differently by women and men who didn't believe that, I feel a man who can show sensitivity, a man who can cry in front of other people, a man when he knows he can't help it or whatever, he has to cry, so be it. A man who can admit when he doesn't have the will to move on, or he needs help, he needs to ask for help or assistance from those who love him. A man who can cry in front of other people, show sensitivity, ask for help when he needs it, and do those things when he needs to, that is a real man to me. It's not the men who are, oh, no, I don't fucking need your help, that fucking shit, you know. The guys like that who put on the whole machismo thing, which really is just an act, because no man is really that macho. It doesn't matter who they are. The fact is that to me is a real man, a man who can show his emotions and a man who can show his sensitive side. Because it takes a lot of strength of character. It takes self-awareness and self-esteem as a man, and self-competence is what I was looking for. Self-confidence as a man in America to be able to do those things and show sensitivity, et cetera, in spite of what someone else may think or say. Because that means that man is confident in his sexuality as a man, as a heterosexual man or a gay man or whatever he is, and is confident in who he is as a man. And you know a person's manhood when you're a man. Your sexuality is separate from your manness or whatever, if you want to call it. It's not the same. Just because you're gay doesn't mean you're not a man, and just because you're straight doesn't mean you are. I think that your manness, as I said, as I defined it a minute ago, is separate from that. So it has nothing to do with your sexual orientation. What it has to do with is if you stand up to people when someone is harming someone you love, you know, I consider that to be a real man, someone who protects the people he loves, whether it's just verbally or physically if need be. Not just because he wants to hit somebody, but because that's necessary at the time. And a man who actually can admit when he's wrong, that's a real man. A man who can show sensitivity, like I said. A man who provides for himself and his family if necessary. Or even a man who is okay and fine with the woman bringing home the bread and him taking care of the kids. Because the truth is that if a woman is making more money than the man, a lot of men are threatened by that, okay? thanks, Claire. I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, and so if a man there are instances where men, especially today in today's world, where the man may not be working because he doesn't make as much money as the woman's a CEO or something, and he's middle management or something, and so they have kids, and it makes more sense for the dad to stay home with the kids than the mother because she makes a lot more money than he does. A real man can handle that and understand that the fact that he's taking care of the kids and she's going to work does not make him any less than a man. It makes him more of a man, in my opinion, because he's secure enough in his sexuality and his manhood to do that. Now, does it cause problems maybe with a male-female role in bed or something? It might, because of how men and women are in terms of roles and things like that. And the same thing can happen with sexuality with a gay couple. If you have a dominant male, you have a more passive male or something, where the dominant male feels he should be bringing home the bacon, and the effeminate or the more passive male feels he should be taking care of the kids or whatever. Same with the men and women in heterosexual relationships. So that could bring create a problem there, but it doesn't mean you can't work around that and make the man make all the dates, make the man make the woman feel like a woman and conquer her or whatever, if that's what she wants to be, or the man, which makes the man in turn feel more powerful. So there are ways to work around that, and also to exchange control, if you want to call it that, or power in the relationship without having to have traditional roles and that are followed by people. So, you know, I think people need to realize, I just wanted to say, because I think people need to realize that men are, men go through a lot more than women realize, whether you're a gay man or a straight man. And women have a hard time in the society too. I understand that. And women, I understand your plight as well, because I know so many women. I was raised by women. I understand them. But I think that also, oh God, Gunslinger, you know what? I don't understand why you come in my room if you think all these things, first of all. I really don't. You think intermixing of the races is wrong, Gunslinger. You think that gay people are not right. You think that being raised without a male role model means that you're not, that a kid's going to be grown up screwed up. That's fucking stupid. Ridiculous to say that. Because there are many, 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 many people. Oh, you can just say just your opinion all you want. It's not just your opinion. It's your belief, and you live your life by it. Don't just say it's just your opinion. Because the truth is, there are many, many people in this world, and the majority of the people in the United States of America, whether they grew up in the 60s or 70s or 80s or whatever, grew up without a male influence in their life, and they're not screwed up because they didn't have a dad around. I didn't have a dad around all the time. I went to visit him on the weekends, okay? And it didn't mean that I grew up screwed up or fucked up in my head. I'm not shooting people or killing people or anything else. So, and it didn't make me gay either. I was gay long before they got divorced. So, I don't understand why you come into my room and say these things and you don't agree with half the shit I say. And you're welcome to believe what you believe, and that's fine. I'd be happy to discuss it with you. But you're closed-minded. I mean, honestly, you are closed-minded in a lot of ways, Gunslinger. You keep your mind closed off to new ideas. Instead, you just simply continue to subscribe to what you've been told over and over and over, rather than use your brain to actually think about what is true and what isn't. So, anyway, that is like a show topic, Claire. That's a good point, opinion versus their belief system, because truthfully, most people's opinion is their belief system, in my opinion. I think people are driven by their beliefs, and I think if they believe something, then that's typically their opinion as well. I mean, generally speaking, it's how I feel about it anyway. All right, so I'll be right back. I'm going to take a quick break and back in just a minute.
The air that I breathe.
All right, we're back. We've got about 38 minutes left in the show. If you want to give me a call, the number is 323-843-6160. So we were talking about before the break about what it is to be a man and what it is to be not a man, I guess. But I think, you know, also the other thing I was going to say is being, I think I said this maybe, but being threatened by people because they're different, I think is definitely a sign of weakness in a person, specifically a man. I think a man shouldn't be threatened by people who are different than themselves, because a real man will not be afraid of people who are different. He'll be okay with them because he's okay with himself. So anyway, it's like the Oprah show today, I guess. I think I'm getting a headache from the champagne I had earlier. So that's that. Other than that, so we talked about anal sex tonight, and then we talked about what it is to be a man. Really running the gamut tonight. I think I talked about having kids before, about possibly doing that sometime soon. Not tonight, but in a previous show. I don't know what else to talk about tonight. Talked about my remodel the show before last. I don't know. I guess I talk about Dallas a little bit. You know, I was born and raised here, like lived here all of my life in Dallas. And it has been, you know, all 35 years. I'm 35 years old. And I keep saying I'm going to leave here one day and move somewhere where there's water. Like, you know, Dallas is landlocked. I mean, we have lakes, big lakes and stuff here. Yeah, but we don't have we don't have like an ocean or anything, obviously. And we have rivers, but I want to see the ocean. Like, I want to have a house on the ocean and on the cliff or something, like Marin County or something like that, or on the bluff or something in Connecticut. I don't know. I just want to really live somewhere where there's lots of water. And I've always been landlocked my whole life. That's probably why. So I probably will someday, like when we retire or something. I don't know. But, of course, we're doing all this remodeling on my house. So probably will stay here the rest of my life just because I will like the house too much by the time it's done. But whatever. Whatever happens, happens. But I keep saying I'm going to leave. I don't. But Dallas is an interesting place because, you know, first of all, I was born and raised here. And I don't really think I sound like I'm from Dallas. But I've never had, like, an accent. Like, you know, a real accent, like a Texan accent, you know, and my whole family does, which is really weird, that I don't have a thick one or anything, thick accent. If I get like really, really drunk or I'm extremely tired, occasionally I'll have a twang, you know, but generally speaking, I don't have an accent at all. But most people from Dallas don't have an accent. Most people from Dallas actually sound sort of like I do. Like they're from California or the Midwest or the North. I don't know. Most people from Dallas that I run into, most people in my circle of friends don't sound like they're from Dallas. But if you go like the city of Dallas, city Dallas, you know, not like the suburbs. If you go to the suburbs, you're going to find more of the twang and the big hair and all that. Now, of course, there are the people, the ladies in Dallas who do have big hair and they do have the accents. Okay. But, you know, they did exist. I'm not saying it doesn't exist in the city of Dallas, but it does exist to some degree. The thing, you know, they always say in Texas is the bigger the hair, the closer to God. So there is a lot of big hair here because there are a lot of God-fearing women here and men. But the men mostly use their cowboy hats to get closer to God. But anyway, I'm not a big fan of the city because it's closed-minded. It's a pretty conservative city. Fortunately, though, it's turning more liberal-minded because even, for example, in the last election, the state always goes Republican overall to the elections and things like that. But the city of Dallas, the county of Dallas went, blue. This time and the last time. So Dallas is turning more, Dallas itself is more liberal than it is conservative. So that's good for me because I don't particularly like the conservative point of view, obviously. And so, but the thing is, there's still a lot of people in power who are highly conservative people, but fortunately they're all dying off. So eventually the younger, more liberal-minded people are going to be taking over. So by the time I'm in my 50s or something, maybe that'll change. But I think that, I don't know. I mean, you know, like on my street, you know, for example, there, and I've mentioned this before, you know, there's all these, when George Bush and Laura Bush came back to Dallas, to live in Dallas, after he left his left the White House and everything and moved from Crawford, there were all these signs. I mentioned this before on my show, all these signs saying, welcome back, Laura, George and Laura. Welcome home, George and Laura. Welcome home, George and Laura. They were on my street. They were up the street. They were down the road for miles, you know. And then that annoys me. And then there's also the people on my street. I mean, I know I've lived here where I live now for like, I don't know, the house. I bought this house like 6 years ago or 7 years ago or something like that. And I don't really know anyone on my street. You know, I just don't. Because, not because I haven't tried. I have tried and tried. And there's, the funny thing is, when I first moved in and bought my house, there were four gay couples living on my street, which is weird because I don't live in like a gay neighborhood. I live in a very conservative neighborhood. It was interesting, but four houses in a row, including my own, were gay households. It was very strange. And then that couple moved out, and then there was two more gay people moved in down the street to different houses or whatever. So, you know, I think it was it was fun because, you know, there were a lot of gay people here. But even the gay people, I didn't even know. I mean, I have neighbors who are gay, and we never talk. We never say anything to each other. We never hang out or anything like that. It's weird. It's just strange to me because I feel like, I mean, not just because we're gay, we should like each other or be friendly. But, I mean, typically gay people are more friendly than that. I don't know. So they don't like me. I don't like them. So we don't talk to each other. So there's literally no one on my street. Anyone on the entire street that I like. And there have been probably six houses that have sold in the past 7 years on my street. And, you know, one of them became a gay household. The rest of them are all heterosexual, and they've changed over or whatever. But I the last time people moved into my house, like a couple houses down across the street, I sent over a welcome to the neighborhood little kit, you know, like a welcome kit or whatever, like a card or whatever, saying welcome to the neighborhood, you know. Hope you love it here. It's a nice neighborhood to live in. If you ever need anything, give me a call. You know, and I signed it my name and my husband's name and my dog's name. And they never, I gave them my phone number, my email address, and then told them what a house I was in. They never called. They never said thank you. They never wrote. Nothing. I think it's because they're anti-gay. Because, obviously, in the letter, I said that I was gay or whatever. I didn't say I was gay, but I said my partner and I, or my husband and I, whatever at the time it was. And I said, if you need anything, let us know. But and so they have this big cross in their front yard that's like says He is risen and all this crap. And as I've said on my show before as well, anytime I see a He is risen cross or one of those little fish, those Gnostic fish or whatever, on the back of someone's car, or Jesus is my boss or whatever, my boss is a Jewish carpenter, whatever those stupid things say, I don't see someone with compassion. I see someone who is just the opposite of that. I don't see anything. You know, I don't associate Christianity anymore with compassion at all. I consider it to be just the opposite, because that's what I've experienced all my life from Christians, for various reasons, either because I'm biracial, or which I can't control, or because I'm gay, which I can't control. So people don't like me who are Christian for their own purposes, which is just really funny because Christians are so, they're the most hypocritical people in the world, which reminds me of something my mom sent me today. It was a joke that she sent me, and I'm going to read it. I have to open my email, but I want to read it to you if I can find it. Let me see, where is it? It made a really valid point, a very good point about Christians and how they proclaim to be one thing but are really something completely different. Now, I'm not saying every single Christian is evil, or every single Christian hates gay people, or every single Christian has, you know, evil or meanness in their heart or whatever, or hate in their heart. But I will say that the majority of the ones I've met have that has been the case. So let me see if I can find it. Hold on. Put my mom's name in here and search for that email. Let's see. Here it is. Okay. So you may have heard this already, but this is how it goes. A man was being tailgated by a stressed-out woman on a busy boulevard. Suddenly, the light turned yellow just in front of him. He did the right thing, stopping at the crosswalk, even though he could have beaten the red light by accelerating through the intersection. The tailgating woman was furious and honked her horn, screaming in frustration, yelling obscenities as she missed her chance to get through the intersection, dropping her cell phone and makeup. As she was still in mid-rant, she heard her tap on her window and looked up into the face of a very serious police officer. The officer ordered her to exit her car with her hands up. He took her to the police station, where she was searched, fingerprinted, photographed, and placed in a holding cell. After a couple of hours, a policeman approached the cell and opened the door. She was escorted back to the booking desk, where the arresting officer was waiting with her personal effects. He said, "I'm very sorry for this mistake. See, I pulled up behind your car while you were blowing your horn, flipping off the guy in front of you and cussing a blue streak at him. I noticed the What Jesus Do bumper sticker, the Choose Life license plate holder, the Follow Me to Sunday School bumper sticker, and the chrome-plated Christian fish emblem on the trunk. And naturally, I assumed you had stolen the car." So that actually perfectly illustrates the point I'm trying to make, about Christians and my experience with Christians. And, of course, I'm just speaking from my own experience with Christians. And it's very rare that I meet a Christian, who says, it is not my place to judge you. You are who you are, blah, 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 which is what Christians should be like. Instead of trying to say people are going to hell and evil and all that shit. So my mom sent me that today, actually. I just remembered it when I was talking about Christians. So I think it's funny. I think people should realize when you say you're a Christian, if you really are a Christian, try to act Christ-like. And I actually call people that I'm talking about Christianists because they are not Christians. A true Christian doesn't behave that way towards people. A true Christian, in my opinion, doesn't act that way towards people who's supposed to be their fellow man or whatever. So I call them Christianists instead of Christians because they're not Christ-like at all. So anyway, that's my little story I wanted to say about that. So my street is – and I don't talk to anybody on the street. And so I actually try to get – we have a volunteer. It's not like required or whatever. Neighborhood association that actually when I moved in, I tried to start a new one because there wasn't one here at all. And so I started to have meetings and things like that, and people came to them, and people who there was already a crime watch prevention thing here. We have these cars, these crime watch people go around the neighborhood and all stuff, to make sure that nobody's trying to rob people or whatever. Anyway, so it was already here, and so the people that were part of that were kind of leading it, or kind of helping me lead at the thing. And whenever somebody would mention my name to come up or something, certain people who didn't like me because I was gay, because they said so, would sigh and go, "Oh God," or whatever, roll their eyes at me. So it was very difficult to get anything done in the neighborhood and to try to start a new organization because no one wanted to have a gay guy running it because they don't like gay people. So I stepped out of it and stopped working on it, and then they started their own and then excluded me from it pretty much. So, and now the people who had started that one, apparently, they all left the neighborhood. They sold their houses and left. So, and there was some kind of sort of scandal, and I could never get to the bottom of what happened. It's probably someone stole money from the association or something. I don't know. But so now I'm trying to start a new one again in the neighborhood, so people maybe will be more receptive now. But we'll see. I don't know. But I don't like living in a neighborhood where people don't like me, or I'm not sure they don't like me, but they don't care about me at all. And I think your neighbors should be someone you actually get along with and look out for each other. When someone's going out of town, you keep an eye on their house for them, and you can borrow a cup of sugar. I mean, I literally needed to borrow a cup of sugar over the holidays. I was making a cake because I was out. I needed one more cup of sugar. And so I had to go to the store to get more sugar. And so actually going to my neighbor's house, and I actually thought of that. I go, well, if I actually talked to my neighbors, they're actually talking to me and they liked me, then I could go over there and get a cup of sugar, but that's not the case. But I don't know. I'm not sure if they don't actually like me or not. I just, that's just the feeling I get. That's the, you know, and I'm pretty intuitive about that. People, if they like me or not, and how they feel about me, whether they know, whether they want to say it outright or not, I can usually sense it one way or the other. Even if they're smiling to my face, I can tell if they really mean it or not. So that's just something I'm good at doing. But anyway. So anyway, that's that. I'll be back in a minute. I'm going to take it on a break. Gonna be. I used to love them. I had a huge crush on the lead singer I can't remember his name anymore, Steven something. I can't remember his name, but I had a huge crush on him in the 90s. Like, huge. But anyway, I used to love that group. I love that song, too. But, yeah, I play that song on the guitar when I play the guitar a lot. I know almost by heart without having to look at the music or whatever. It's pretty easy to play, and I sing along to it. And I play the violin, and I play the trombone. I played the trombone when I was in middle school, but I don't play that anymore. And I play the piano. And I mostly just play the piano and the guitar now. I used to play the violin a few years ago a lot more, but I broke the chin rest, and I have no rotten fix, so I can't play it really right now. And also my bow is frayed, so I need to get all that done before I can play it again. But anywho, what are you talking about? You got fixed, Desert Rose. You got your intro song fixed, and you have pictures you want to show us or something? Is there a link? Love to see it. Feel free to put it in the chat room. Anyway, so we have a few minutes left. We have about 17 minutes left tonight. The number's 323-843-6160. I played guitar band for the first time at a friend's birthday party a few weeks ago. That was so much fun. I'm going to have to get it because it was so much fun. But my husband was playing the drums. It was so hilarious. He looked like a little retarded boy playing the drums. I mean, he's taller than me, but I mean, he looked the way he was playing them. It was so hilarious. I guess you had to be there, but it was funny. And I was singing, and I played the drums a little bit on that. That was hard. It's a hard game to play Guitar Hero. It was very hard. It was not easy at all. But I definitely know now why drummers have those good arms usually. An intro clip for my YouTube. What are you talking about, Desert Rose? Why don't you send me a clip? Oh, you did put a clip in there. Okay, let me go back and look at what you're talking about. Hold on. Open a new window. Desert Rose Radio Show. Oh, my God, what the hell? It's a cat with you. What is this? This is funny.
When? 5 quarter marks this evening. Can you tell? Welcome back to the Desert Rose Radio Show. I'm your host,
FoxNews.com/strategyrose.
You know, that's a good idea, actually, Desert, to do that. Can I make a promo like that on YouTube? I'm going to do that, too. You gave me a good idea. To put little clips and stuff and merge them together. That's a good idea.
Live and ambition is so strong, she's going to roll over or knock down any obstacle in her way.
Well, go ahead, Desert Rose.
When she get her sights set on something, just go and move out the way. Because she will take a machete and literally cut you out of her way.
That's pretty cool. Not bad. Not bad at all. Yeah, that's a good idea. I should do that. I've been actually thinking about trying to make, because, you know, I actually went to my first degree is in marketing. So I know a lot about marketing. I know graphic design and web design development. I know all that stuff. And I do all that for myself and all my businesses as well that I do. You know, and I went back to school to get my master's degree and stuff like that. And I just got a second bachelor's degree in interior architecture and design. So anyway, my point is, though, is that I use that in everything. And I should really... I've been thinking about marketing myself and my show a little better and putting more effort and time into it, because even though I don't get paid for this or anything and it takes up a lot of time, I should really treat it as such, you know, because I haven't been really preparing for my shows lately and things like that just because I've been so busy, but I think it's a good idea. Yeah, I think you're right, Desert. I think it would. It sounds like Nava or Tracy. Who was it? Are you talking about talking on her show? I don't know. You know, let me ask you guys something real quick. Desert, for you in particular and some other people who are listening, when I was first started on doing my show, whatever, I had people who, you know, people call me names, blah, blah, blah. Well, the people who call them, like you, Desert, for example, I'll use an example because that's what made me think about it. You, every time you see Rambo, Rambo! Oh, my God, Rambo! Oh, my gosh! Or somebody else that I can't stand. And these people are incredibly, incredibly mean to me, incredibly homophobic. So I've talked about this before, but it's hard for me to try to reconcile my online friendship with you and with other people who maintain friendships with people who are so mean and just spewing evil and hatred towards me all the time. So whenever you see, you have this excitement about seeing them in chat rooms and stuff, you know, and I'm thinking, how are you friends with someone who is so hate-filled? Because you don't seem to me to be hate-filled, or you seem very different to me, even though I think we have some differences in beliefs and things like that, because we've talked about before on your show once. But I think that, generally speaking, you seem like you have a good heart, I mean, from what I can tell. And I don't think that you would be someone to associate with people like that. So it's just weird. It's hard for me to reconcile knowing you with people like that. You know what I mean? And there was a Blue Sky, or I think her name was Blue Sky. I can't remember what her name was. Blue Sky, I think. She used to come in my room every night, listen to my show all the time. We talked on Skype a couple times. We talked on Facebook a couple times. And she is the co-host of CFGA's show. Well, CFGA is the one that threatened to slit my throat off of their shit. So, you know, I talked to her. I was like, how can you be friends with that person? And she never really responded to me. And so now she doesn't ever come around anymore. She never comes around. I never see her anymore, whatever, for whatever reason. And she doesn't ever text me or message me on Skype or anything. So I don't know, but Desert, you should listen to one of his shows and see what a fucking raging, crazy lunatic he is. Because really, I don't say that lightly about people, okay? I just want you to know that he is not well. He isn't. USMC Bob, whatever, is not, and also CFGA are all incredibly insane. I mean, I seriously think that they have mental issues. I really do think that they have mental issues. So that's why whenever I befriend someone on here, if they do have a show, I listen to their show to see what they're about, and I try to understand who they are as a person, because I don't want to associate with people like that. And anyone who spreads hatred and anyone who's constantly trying to basically stand up for their own inadequacies by calling gay people faggots, et cetera. You know, I don't want to be around people like that. I don't want to be around people who associate with people like that. And I'm not directing all this at you, okay? I don't want you to think I'm like, oh, singling you out. I'm just using you as an example because you're in the room and you made me think about it. So, you know, it's difficult for me to reconcile my friendship with them because I am somebody, I'm an incredibly loyal friend. Whether it's a real friendship, like in person, or whether it's a friendship online or whatever, I'm just a loyal person. I don't, you know, I'm a fierce protector of my friends, and I'm somebody who actually would go to the ends of the earth for friends, whether real or not. I mean, to a degree, obviously, more for real people than people I meet online, but you know what I mean. So it's difficult for me to have that typical level of loyalty to someone, whatever level of friendship I have with them, when they are being, I feel, disloyal to me by associating with people like that. So I just wanted to say that because I have a hard time with it because I am a sensitive person, not only sensitive in the fact that I pick up on things easily, but sensitive that I, you know, expect the same kind of loyalty from my friends that I show to them. So I'm not saying you're a friend or whatever, but you're an online friend is what I mean. I don't mean you're like a friend, but you know what I mean. So I don't know. It's just hard for me. And like whenever I go into Vince's room, you know, and people are like those people I mentioned earlier are calling me all these horrible names. He never says anything to them like that's wrong or shut up. I mean, he said something once or twice maybe, but usually he doesn't ever say anything. And I like Vince a lot. I think he's talented and everything. So I listen to his show and I kind of look past it. Moxie, I think she's cool too. Although we have differences of opinion in our, in how we view the political spectrum, but I think she's cool because she can respect me without having to agree with me on certain things. And to me, that's all it's all about, is just about respecting people. So, yeah, that's how I am, Claire. I'm just a giver, mostly. I mean, you know, I'm about balance. I try to take as much as I give, but I'm a giver, and I usually end up giving a lot more than most of the people I associate with do to me. Lady Cougar, yes, they do. I haven't ever had a problem with anybody on your show, Lady Cougar. Nobody on your show has ever called me names or been mean to me at all that I've ever seen or heard. So your show's cool because nobody has ever called me names or been mean to me at all. So, and I don't need people to protect me, by the way. I'm not saying that. I need people to look up, to stand up for me or whatever. It's just nice if they do because that shows that they care. But if they don't stand up for me, I don't hate them because they don't. It's more about who you associate with. You know, if I'm in a chat room and somebody you don't know is calling me names and da da da, and you say, you know, something you want to stand up to them, that's great. But I don't expect you to. You don't have to. But if you're associating with the same people who call me those names, it makes me suspect as to who you are as a person and what you really think and how you feel about gay people or about me or whatever. So I'm sure you understand what I'm saying, and I'm not directing it at anyone in particular. I just wanted to say that because that's just something I want to say. It's just something that's difficult for me. So anyway, and yeah, that's the thing about me too. I had a friend, hold on. Desert Rose says, I think what a lot of hosts do is leave the chats to fight on their own. Cause if they get involved, it brings tons of drama on air. Well, I understand. That's true too, I guess. But that's probably true. I mean, like, when I'm doing my show, if there's somebody in the room saying things that would really make me mad or whatever, I just don't look at the chat while I'm, you know, for a while. So I just try to allow myself to, not look until I'm ready to speak or reply to what they're saying. That's usually what I do. But anyway, look, guys, I really appreciate you guys hanging out with me because especially since the show at the beginning had major technical difficulties for half an hour and shut down. So I appreciate you guys listening and staying around anyway. Desert Rose, as always, thank you so much. Yeah, I know Desert Rose about the whole thing about the trolls, and I understand that. Guest 152, thanks for listening. Gunslinger 1964, as always, we disagree, but I appreciate you being respectful and always hanging out with us, so thank you for that. Herbert Brown Photography, as always, thank you for listening. Lady Cougar, you know you're great, and I think you're wonderful, and I hate to see that you're leaving your show soon. I wish you would stick around, but I know a lot of people are leaving anyway. Texas Patriot, you too, thanks for hanging out and listening. Trust Claire, as always, thank you so much, and I will be on your show tomorrow at 6:30 Central Time. I'll just call in whenever you tell me to call in on the show. You can just private message me on your show and tell me that you're ready for me to call in, okay? You guys have a great night, and I'll talk to you later. Bye.
I haven't loved right since you left. I forgot what it means to love someone dead. I haven't loved right since you've gone. I know the feeling's still there, but I just can't turn it on. Ain't no tree, I'm as hollow as can be.
The hardest part was figuring out where to go. I didn't want to explain military life before talking about what I needed. Safeguard Veterans connected me to people and resources that understood military life. That made taking the next step easier.
You served others. Let your community support you. Visit safeguardveterans.net and click on your city. Safeguard Veterans. Any door, the right support.